The Art of Remembering. That's a Stennis memorial. When the time comes, Stennis Granite Company offers expertly designed custom memorials from the smallest footstone to the largest monument. With the help of Stennis Granite, your ideas become a unique expression of the person it memorializes. Each design is custom created and handcrafted in-house. Whether pre-planning for your own peace of mind or choosing the perfect memorial legacy for a loved one, Stennis Granite is with you from concept to completion. Please view the Stennis online gallery at stennisgranite.com and trust your memories to Stennis Granite Company in East Grand Forks.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos? Well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
I'll take a look at our World and National News headlines at this hour. Good afternoon, I'm Chris Fee. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is hopeful that a peace agreement to bring an end to 17 years of war in Afghanistan can be reached before September 1st. Pompeo was in the Afghan capital of Kabul today to meet the country's leaders. The war there is America's longest running. Amid deep skepticism, the Trump administration is convening an international conference to promote its ambitious but heavily criticized $50 billion economic support plan for the Palestinians. President Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, kicks off the workshop today with a speech to finance ministers from some Arab states and private sector executives. But neither Israel nor the Palestinians will have an official delegation there, and many countries are not sending cabinet-level officials. U.S. government officials say they've moved more than 100 kids back to a remote border facility where lawyers reported detained children were caring for each other and had inadequate food, water, and sanitation. An official from U.S. Customs and Border Protection said today that the majority of the roughly 300 children detained at Clint, Texas last week have been placed in facilities operated by the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is vowing to learn from his party's crushing defeat in Istanbul's repeated mayoral election. Erdogan said Tuesday that the ruling Justice and Development Party needed to heed the messages given by the people and review the disunity and errors that led to its candidate's loss. Erdogan again congratulated opposition candidate Ekrem İmamoğlu, who garnered 54.2% of the vote in Istanbul on Saturday. And that is a look at our world and national news headlines at this hour.
You were my wife. You mattered.
You were my dad. You mattered.
You were my sister. You mattered.
Every life has meaning and purpose. That's why choosing a monument to celebrate the life of a loved one is so important. At Stennis Granite, our compassionate design professionals will work with you from concept to completion to tell the story of those who matter most to you for generations to come. When it's time to choose a personalized memorial, buy directly from the monument builder you can trust, Stennis Granite in East Grand Forks. Because they mattered. Learn more at stennisgranite.com.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos? Well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
Well, taking a look at the present conditions right now in downtown Crookston. We have sunny skies and clouds are starting to clear away. We have 64 degrees, northwest wind of 14 miles an hour. Barometric pressure is at 29.71 inches and rising. Humidity is down just a bit at 83%. We did have some sprinkles earlier this morning. Rain totals that we've received, a half an inch of rain here at the KROX studios yesterday during that quick shower. And then the Woods Edition reported 7/10 of an inch of rain. And we've heard at Euclid there was an inch of rain along with some hail in that neck of the woods. But if you do have a rain total, feel free to give us a call, 281-1140, and we'll pass it along during our weather. Again, 64 right now in downtown Crookston. The forecast for the rest of today. Chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. High 75 to 80. It'll be breezy. Northwest winds of 15 to 25. A 70% chance of precipitation continuing. Then tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the mid-50s. Southwest winds of 5 to 15. It'll warm up here and could hit 90 by Saturday. We'll tell you more about that coming up a little later here in the noontime news. Again, sunny skies, 64 degrees right now in downtown Crookston. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Take a look at the rest of the news, including the state news. That'll be coming up after this from our friends at HN Quality Plumbing and First Community Credit Union.
The weather is great, so get out and enjoy it. Hi, this is Ashley with First Community Credit Union. Now is a perfect time to get that new car, boat, or other toy you've been wanting. FCCU has consumer loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Let us help you spend quality family time with recreational activities. Stop in and see us because life's better with community. First Community Credit Union. Loans subject to credit approval.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks as well as kitchen sinks all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neisted. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
Taking a look at our state news, a bill from U.S. Senator Tina Smith to hold insulin manufacturers accountable for excessive increases in prices now has bipartisan support after Republican Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota has signed on.
Insulin has been around for almost 100 years, and today there are only three manufacturers, and the average price of insulin has doubled between 2012 and 2016. So they're making billions of dollars off of people who need their products to stay alive. And I think that that's unacceptable, and we need to change that.
The bill would provide emergency access to insulin for people in Minnesota and across the country. Smith plans to introduce the bill on Thursday. The state's new groundwater protection rule officially takes effect this week, although it won't be until next year that farmers will no longer be allowed to apply nitrogen fertilizer in the fall in areas where soils are porous. Spokesman Larry Gunderson says there's a zoomable map on the Minnesota Department of Agriculture website at www.mda.state.mn.us/NFR.
So somebody can go in there and put in their address or zoom into their area where their farm is to determine whether or not we've determined if it's a vulnerable groundwater area or not.
Gunderson says porous soils are most common in southeast Minnesota and the central Sands area along the Highway 10 corridor in some parts of southwest Minnesota. The new fertilizer restrictions will also apply to areas with high levels of nitrates in public water supplies. Gunderson notes many farmers already do not apply nitrogen fertilizer in the fall. A 9-year-old girl was seriously injured in an ATV rollover accident in Freeport Saturday morning.
11-year-old Ava Smith was driving the ATV in a driveway when she lost control. Her passenger, Eve Shaw, was not wearing a seatbelt and flew from the ATV, landing on the ground. Her injuries are said to be life-threatening. Smith, who was wearing a seatbelt, sustained minor injuries. Speed is believed to be a factor in the crash. Scott Peterson reporting.
Developers of a proposed copper-nickel mine in northern Minnesota are courting bankers for $950 million in financing, even as environmental groups push back against the project over fears of water pollution. PolyMet Mining Corporation CEO John Cherry tells the Star Tribune that he's confident the mine will move forward despite concerns over its environmental permits. A southwestern Minnesota man who said he threw a quote-unquote death party for his wife and gave her methamphetamine has pled guilty to criminal neglect. 59-year-old Dwayne Johnson entered the plea Monday in Brown County Circuit Court. A third-degree murder charge will be dismissed as part of a plea agreement with prosecutors. And the Ralph Engelstad Arena at the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks is preparing to unveil what it calls the largest video display in college hockey, a 50,000-pound scoreboard manufactured by South Dakota-based Daktronics. The Engelstad Family Foundation, which has been at odds with recently departed school president Mark Kennedy, over a basketball floor logo and other issues has donated $4 million to the $6 million project. Las Vegas was very good to the Engelstad family and keeps giving back to UND and the hockey arena. But a 50,000-pound scoreboard, I've always wondered if you're skating on the ice, do you wonder, is it going to fall? It's got to be in the back of your mind at some point. Probably not. That's why they're so good most of the years. That is a look at the state news. We'll take a break. We'll be back and take a look at the sports. We'll tell you more about that. Not a whole lot to tell you, but a good honor for a Pirate baseball player. That'll be coming up right after this from HN Quality Plumbing and First Community Credit Union.
The weather is great, so get out and enjoy it. Hi, this is Ashley with First Community Credit Union. Now is a perfect time to get that new car, boat, or other toy you've been wanting. FCCU has consumer loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Let us help you spend quality family time with recreational activities. Stop in and see us because life's better with community. First Community Credit Union. Loans subject to credit approval.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks as well as kitchen sinks all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neisted. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
Taking a look at the sports scene, first, the Crookston Pirate baseball player Brady Butt has been named to the Section 8AA Baseball All-Section team. Butt, a junior, this past season led the team with 20 hits, 5 doubles, and was tied for the team lead with 51 at-bats. Butt had a 392 batting average on the year, had 5 runs batted in, and scored 3 runs, walked twice. On the mound, Butt pitched in 6 games, went 1-2 on the season, pitched 22 innings with an ERA of 7.32 while giving up 33 hits, striking out 21, walking 12. Other area players that were named to the Section 8AA All-Section Baseball Team were Thief River Falls' Grant Hartman, East Grand Forks' Jake Jelly, Carter Beck, and Jake Osowski. That's really about it on the area. The coach of the year was James Mulcahy of Purim. No surprise there. It goes to the section champs. On the sports scene for today, we have the Twins. Big series. They host Tampa Bay. See if the Twins can get back on the winning track. 6:30 the pregame, 7:10 the first pitch. Crookston American Legion, they're at Stephen Argyle tonight for a 5:30 doubleheader. And then Wednesday, the Reds will be back in action. They'll be at Ada to take on the A's, and the Twins will be back in action to host Tampa Bay. Now, let's see what else we have here on our sports scene. Let's see if they have it here. Well, they don't have it on our headlines, but we can tell you Giannis. He was named the NBA MVP last night. I broke the news to our own Carter Fee. He was very excited, and he's the one that wanted to go to Milwaukee for a summer vacation to see if he could see Giannis. But the Greek Freak is the NBA MVP. And we can also tell you this. We just received this email from the Minnesota Wild. They have announced their home or their season schedule now. And this is good news for people up in Crookston anyway. They have on home games by day. They have only one Friday game, that's bad news, but they have 11 Saturday games and 9 Sunday games. So 21 of their 41 home games will be played at on the weekend. So that's good news there. And let's see what else we have. That is about it. We will tell you their season opener, regular season opener. They'll be at Nashville, first 3 games. Actually, the closest they get to playing to Crookston will be at Winnipeg, Thursday, October 10th, 7 p.m., if you want to mark that down. But the first home game is Saturday, October 12th, and the season starts at Nashville, October 3rd. My goodness, it's coming up quick. That is a look at the sports. We'll take a break. We'll be back and take a look at the local news and the weather. It was a busy night with meeting night last night. We'll tell you more about that coming up right after this from Hugo's Family Marketplace and Courtney Polkerbeck, State Farm Insurance.
In Crookston and the Red River Valley, you know how much it means to have neighbors you can count on, like the one who mowed your lawn and trimmed it that week you were sick. Well, here's another good neighbor you can count on, State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck in Crookston. Courtney and his team are here to help life go right when you combine your home and auto insurance, which can save you money and time. So combine home and auto and start the savings rolling. Call State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck in Crookston today at 281-2234.
Get ready to chill and grill this 4th of July. Hugo's Family Marketplace has their USDA Choice Angus Farms T-Bone Steaks on sale, $7.99 a pound. Hugo's Premier Choice Marinated Boneless Chicken Breast, available in assorted flavors, are $2.99 a pound. USDA Choice Angus Farms Boneless Top Sirloin Steak, $6.99 a pound. And a new crop of Jumbo Washington Cherries, $2.99 a pound. You can find all this week's savings at GoHugos.com.
You're gonna find more low prices, more great stuff, when you go to Hugo's.
Taking a look at the local news, the Crookston School Board met last night and approved to deficit spend on the upcoming school year budget to raise lunch prices and some breakfast prices. They approved a five-year strategic plan and gave a glowing review of Superintendent Jeremy Olson in his one-year review. The meeting started off with Melanie Lessard speaking during the public forum, and she asked the school board if they would be willing to help her out and bring a motivational speaker, Mark Muro, to Crookston to speak to students in the Crookston School District and possibly work with the other schools, including the University of Minnesota Crookston. Lessard said she would take the money from this year's Miss Tootsie pageant and put it towards the speaker. She has $1,200 now and was wondering if the school could help with the cost to make sure they could secure a date to come to Crookston. Last year's Miss Tootsie pageant made $4,500, and she gave the money to the Oxcart Days Committee, but would like to put it towards the kids instead. Lessard, who started to tear up, said she felt strongly that a speaker like Muro would be important for the kids in the school district. We do have a clip of Muro, one of his presentations, on our website at KROXAM.com. Get the tissues ready, we'll tell you that much. Several board members thanked Lessard for her thoughtfulness and caring for the kids, but they could not approve anything unless it came through the counselors. Superintendent Jeremy Olson said the counselors were aware of the request and they would talk about it. Lessard also said she would be open to donations, and one person said they would donate $500. To secure the date she was thinking of, a Wednesday in November, she would need to secure the money by the end of the week. Olson said they will talk about it and try to make the decision as soon as possible. An item was added to the agenda before the meeting started with the swearing-in of temporary school board member Nick Nicholas, who's back on the board. He was sworn in, and the board moved through the consent agenda with unanimous approval. The first item on the main agenda was an increase of lunch and breakfast prices for the upcoming school year. The USDA requires all schools that charge less than $3 for lunches adjust their price, and the Crookston School District is currently 33 cents below the weighted average and are required by the USDA to increase lunch by 10 cents per meal to follow USDA guidelines. Elementary lunch and breakfast will go up 10 cents each. Crookston High School lunch will go up 10 cents, while breakfast will stay the same. Adult lunch will go up 10 cents, and adult breakfast will stay the same. If a kid eats lunch every day, it'll amount to an increase of $17.20 for the year. Anna Brecken explains.
We are required by the USDA to fill out a paid lunch equity tool, and what that does is it takes our average weighted price of school lunches and compares it to the where they want the national average to be. And right now we are 33 cents below the requirement. The max increase we can make on school lunches is 10 cents, so we were required to raise lunches, I guess, by 10 cents for elementary level and for high school level.
The paid lunch equity tool doesn't dictate breakfast prices. It only dictates lunch prices. I compared the prices that we pay for our students pay for breakfast to other schools in the area, like about 10 surrounding schools, and looked at where we sit for our breakfast prices and to decide if we could increase in any of those things. When we implemented breakfast in the classroom at our elementary level, it increased our costs of breakfast, obviously. More kids were taking it, which is wonderful, but it also more kids are taking more items, and then our labor costs are increased as well. So with that, and because our breakfast prices from last year were significantly lower than all the surrounding schools, with the exception of Climax, we decided to raise the elementary price by a dime as well to be $1.50. We kept high school the same simply because we were in the middle ground, so we weren't as competitive as our breakfast prices.
Brecken said they are currently negotiating the milk and bread contracts.
We have to renegotiate our contracts. So right now we're keeping, we finally finalized just on Friday with our bread vendor, and then we're waiting to hear back from our milk vendor. And as long as they don't increase prices more than 2.5%, they can't raise it more than 2.5%. As long as they don't go above that, then we can stick with them for another year. And it just takes out the labor costs of sending out for bids and waiting to hear back and opening up sealed bids, and being a rural area, you don't get a lot of competitive prices anyways. So in our historical data, everything coming back is we stick with Pan of Gold for bread every single year, and we don't switch. So why not just renegotiate with them? And
The board approved the preliminary budget for the upcoming school year with deficit spending in the ballpark of $300,000. Superintendent Jeremy Olson said they were conservative on expenses and income student enrollment. Crookston started the 2018-19 school year with 1,124 students, ended the year with 1,102. Olson said they were conservative with the numbers just to be on the safe side.
It is very common in approval of preliminary budgets to really be looking at, you know, we always want to understate our revenue, overstate our expenses, because at this point we don't know what the price of fuel is going to be. If it's $2 opposed to $4, that's a big difference. So it doesn't concern me greatly that we're looking at a preliminary deficit spending budget. Obviously, any time that there's any kind of red ink, that always concerns me. But from a standpoint of strategy and where we are fiscally, I think that we're going to, at the end of the year, be looking at something that's much closer to zero than in the red.
And school board chair Frank Fee gave the one-year evaluation of Superintendent Jeremy Olson and said he has done a great job in his first year. There were four ratings the board could give, and Olson was high on all of them, according to Fee.
And we had five goals that were set at the beginning of the year with the school board and the superintendent. And there were different ratings. The highest was distinguished, then it was accomplished, satisfactory, or unsatisfactory. And Dr. Olson came in high on all of them, distinguished on timely communications, accomplished on school district finances and student enrollment, and also student achievement, and distinguished in pirate pride. I think there was five, so there was 30 different ratings by school board members, and 28 of them were either accomplished or distinguished, which were the highest. So all in all, the board has been very pleased with Dr. Olson's performance during his first year as superintendent.
And we will have more from the meeting on tomorrow's news. The next Crookston School Board meeting will be Monday, July 22nd at 5 p.m. at the Crookston High School Choir and Orchestra Room. The Crookston City Council, they met Monday night and introduced the Gateway Overlay District Ordinance that was given an update during the Planning Commission meeting last week. Councilman Dale Stainbrook, who has been part of the Planning Commission during the development of the Gateway, said it was a long process over the last year, but positive feedback allowed a compromise to remove the requirement for paved surfaces.
The planning has been working on this long time, I'm saying probably a year plus, and we had, you know, a changeover of some new board members, and they got up to speed real quick, and it was positive. We had to bring it back to planning, but we had some positive feedback, and basically the compromise was is we'll just eliminate hard surfaces for existing and buildings if they change to a different business, and also a new build.
Existing businesses will be grandfathered in, and Stainbrook added that grant money might be available down the road to improve a city's gateway.
I hear possibly there in the future there could be some grant money out there to improve your gateway, but if you don't have a master plan on it, you don't even stand a chance.
The council passed the consent agenda, which included approving bills and disbursements in the amount of $123,702.23 and approving the Crookston Community Pool budget. Public hearings will also be called to consider spending or amending the current franchise agreement with Otter Tail Power Company and Red Lake Electric. Approval was given for an agreement with Short Elliott Hendrickson Incorporated for the Crookston Airport Master Plan, and the council adopted a code of ethics and conduct policy. Finally, City Administrator Shannon Sasson told the council the League of Minnesota Cities will be available in September to assist with training for following the code. Councilman Don Cavalier thanked the council members and city staff for their work on the Code of Ethics and Conduct.
I'm really, really happy that we got the Code of Ethics and Conduct in place. Now we can really go to work and make sure that we look at what's in it totally in our training, and that it is a legal document, so we can work through that and get things done.
Patrick Yates addressed the council during the Crookston Forum regarding the alley right-of-way off South Hubbard. According to Yates, paperwork from the courthouse and city says it should be a 20-foot alley, but a neighbor is infringing upon the right-of-way by placing stakes in the alley. Yates explains.
Well, the alleyway, on the one end, you got the concrete bunkers coming in. We've measured it. It's 20 feet wider at the mouth of the alleyway. Then when you go to the other end, you measure from where the sidewalk ends, where the curb and entryway to the alleyway, and measure across, there's a 20 feet there. If you look down the alley, he's in there quite a ways.
And Public Works Director Pat Kelly said the alley should be aligned within 6 inches of the entry points. Yates had approached the council on the same issue in November, but according to Councilman Bobby Baird, when he went along with Kelly and former building inspector Matt Johnson, they went down to look at Yates's concern. They were unable to locate the stakes and make accurate determination as the snow cover hindered them. Kelly said he and new building official Greg Hefta would go to the area in question and check on it. During Monday night's Ways and Means Committee meeting, the recommended loan and land option by the Crookston Housing and Economic Development Authority with Epitome Energy LLC was discussed. The committee voted to continue to move forward on the loan and land option after due diligence and all statutory regulations are met. City Attorney Charles Corky Reynolds was called on to explain why his legal opinion was that the city would need to enter business subsidy agreements with Epitome Energy before entering an option agreement on the Colburn property.
My reading of the statute regarding business subsidy is that when there is a contemplated business subsidy, the council needs to decide if that is going to occur, to what extent, and there is a business subsidy statute which defines the elements which must go into a business subsidy. It defines certain parameters such as what's the business purpose, it defines what's the impact on the city, and therefore I believe it's my opinion that the council needs to be aware of the factors behind the proposed option agreement, how it's going to impact the city, and is there going to be a business subsidy? And if there is, there needs to be a business subsidy agreement prior to entering into the option.
Reynolds also said that the recommended terms with a 0% interest on a $1.25 million loan make it a business subsidy, in his opinion.
It's my opinion that at the terms that have been suggested with 0% interest, that is a business subsidy flowing to Epitome Energy, and therefore, again, you need a business subsidy agreement prior to entering into such a loan if that would be your wishes. Again, negotiating terms, getting some specific facts about how this impacts the community, what kind of jobs are available, wage scale. There's 8 factors listed in the business subsidy agreement statute that need to be addressed, and the city can add additional factors if it so chooses.
The land option and loan would need a separate subsidy analysis, as would any potential future subsidy, explained Reynolds. Councilman Jake V asked if the loan that was offered for prime terms would be a subsidy. Their terms, would the subsidy go away? Reynolds said a loan at a commercially reasonable or retainable rate might well not have a subsidy, as the recipient would not receive the money on terms that were more generous or different from a commercial lender. Councilman Bobby Baird asked how long the working group process would work. Reynolds said his understanding was it could take several months to create the business subsidy.
My understanding is that it would take some months. And it depends on how often they meet, how they go about their work, how and no reason to believe that Epitome Energy wouldn't cooperate and provide the data that's requested. I mean, I think you could get it done in 3 to 4 months if you met weekly, and maybe even quicker.
The staff recommendation, based on Reynolds' opinions and a memorandum from the firm of Kelly and Graven, who specializes in economic development issues, was to create a working group for the business subsidy and all other matters relating to Epitome Energy development. Internally, the group would include Mayor Guy Martin, 2 council members, 2 CHITA board members, City Administrator Shannon Stassen, Finance Director Angel Wiesner, CHITA Director Craig Hoyseth, Externally, the group would include municipal advisors Paul Steinman and Michaela Hewitt from Springstead, who worked on the recent TIF district, along with specialized legal counsel James Strauman and Martha Ingram, bond counsel Dick Held and Reynolds. Reynolds said his office wasn't involved in constructing the recommended working group, but did say he believed his office and the specialist that offered another opinion, as they do a lot of work in the area after fee asked if so, much legal counsel was needed. Reynolds also added that for each meeting, every member of the committee might not be required at each meeting, and the city could take advantage of video and phone conferencing to avoid travel time. The committee's approved motion didn't determine the exact legal counsel that would be needed, nor the final makeup of the committee, but did say they wanted to move forward. Councilman Fee asked if there was a way to speed up the process from 3 to 4 months to move Epitome Energy forward with the air permitting. Reynolds said this is a big project and big money, but he doesn't have the experience to say that the subsidy can be completed any quicker, adding that his timeline is just an estimate. Hoysa said he agreed with everything that Reynolds said, adding that he believed the discussion was putting the cart before the horse, and that's Craig Hoysa.
I agree and concur with everything the lawyer said. Every single thing. There's not one thing that Corky mentioned that I'm in disagreement with. I do believe that the cart is way before the horse here. We're only here to find out, is the city council interested in providing a loan to Epitome Energy for $1.25 million? That's all we need to know. The Cheetah Board decision was simply put, yes, we recommend that loan comes, go forward. Assuming the due diligence is done, the security is put in place, the collateral is there, the business subsidy, all those things will be part of the due diligence. All we need is the council to say, yes, we will certainly recommend a loan to Epitome Energy if all that due diligence falls in place, which will include committees, business subsidies, all of those things.
Hoysa said Cheetah would start the process immediately for a business subsidy agreement if the city council indicated it was interested and concurred with the Cheetah board recommendation. Asked for his opinion on how to move forward, Reynolds said his opinion was that if the sense of the council were to be supportive in the recommendation made by the Cheetah board, then the notion should include the city would support the loan with the appropriate agreements. Epitome Energy's Dennis Egan said a unique opportunity to get an early start on permitting is available if Reynolds' estimate timeline can be shortened.
We just have a unique opportunity that if we can, in a short period of time, leverage city dollars that are backed by the state dollars that were passed this past legislative session, we can actually get our permitting process started. I've got a team in place ready to go in July if we can secure the funding for it, which then gives us the opportunity to do that 10 to 12 month in permitting process in the state of Minnesota. So June or July of next year, we'd have our air permits, which then allows us to move dirt.
Egan believes Epitome has all the information that would be required, including two banks ready to move on the debt for the whole project once they know what the city will be looking for with the initial loan. The small specialty crush plant could be operational in 2020 if the city could loan the dollars quickly, but would likely be pushed out a year if the process takes 3 or 4 months, according to Egan.
We've got some funding from the state of Minnesota which will allow us to actually purchase equipment for the small specialty crush. Epitome Energy has secured $1 million to build the building for that equipment. So we could move dirt, put footings in, and have this project moving and on its way. But if it's a four-month process for the city to get to the point where they say that they can loan us the dollars, then that puts us October of next year for our air permits. And then it's a hit and miss in Crookston on whether or not how much work you can do, you know, November, December. So it would push us out a year.
And we will have more from the Ways and Means Committee meeting on Wednesday's news. But obviously, Epitome Energy, a big story there, and we'll keep following it very closely. Could be huge for Crookston. Longtime Crookston Eagles Club member Bruce Meyer was inducted into the Minnesota State Eagles Airy Hall of Fame this past weekend in Grand Rapids. Meyer and two other Crookston Eagles members will serve on the Fraternal Order of Eagles Minnesota State Airy Executive Board. Randy Beggs was elected vice president, president-elect. Bruce Meyer was elected treasurer, and Jake Fee was appointed assistant secretary at the 116th Eagles Minnesota State Convention held in Grand Rapids this past weekend. Crookston will be hosting the 117th Eagles Minnesota State Convention. That'll be June 18th through the 20th, 2020. Aires and auxiliaries from all over the state of Minnesota and the Dakotas will come into Crookston for this week-long event. Crookston has not hosted the Eagle State Convention since the early 1950s. That'll bring a lot of people to town next summer. The Northwest Regional Correction Center announced the arrest of the following individuals: Brandon John Lewis, 24, of Bagley, for misdemeanor obstruction of the legal process; Schuler Heath Caution, C-A-U-C-H-O-N, 22, of Faustin, for misdemeanor contempt of court for willful disobedience of a court mandate. Well, we're sad to say we have two obituaries on our desk today. Doris May Muir, age 90, of Crookston, died June 23rd at the Villa St. Vincent Nursing Home in Crookston. A memorial service will be held Saturday, June 29th, at First Presbyterian Church in Crookston. Visitation will be Saturday from 1 p.m. until the time of the service at the church. Interment will be at the First Presbyterian Church Columbarium in Crookston. Doris is survived by son Mike of Crookston, a daughter Catherine of Austin, Texas, grandchildren David Muir of Fargo, Jacinda Grand of Fargo, C.J. Juranic of St. Cloud, great-grandchildren Kyra Muir, Trevin, and Trissa Grand, and great-great-granddaughter Luna Muir. Doris is preceded in death by her parents, husband David, and one grandson, Daniel Anglero. Dwayne Allen Batine, 63, of East Grand Forks, passed away Sunday at the University of Minnesota Medical Center in Minneapolis. He had been courageously battling ill health for the past several years. Family members include two children, daughter and son-in-law Cassandra and Brandon Hodek, and son Benjamin Bayless, all of East Grand Forks, brother and sister-in-law Sid and Penny Batine of Fargo, two nieces and nephews, Lisa Harris of St. Paul, Danielle Ducks of Pelican Rapids, and Jeremy Batine of Grand Forks, along with other family members and friends. Dwayne was preceded in death by his parents, Harvey and Ivy Batine, sister Lucille Tootie Paulson. A memorial service in honor of Dwayne Allen Batine's life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 29th at Stenchel Housky Funeral Home in Crookston, with the Reverend Greg Isaacson officiating. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. and interment will follow in the Oakdale Cemetery in Crookston. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given in Dwayne's memory to Boy Scout Troop 130 of Grand Forks, in care of Cassandra Hodek at 1208 4th Avenue North, East Grand Forks, 56721. The flag flying over the Crookston National Guard Armory today is in honor of Albert O. Peterson, a technician in the 842nd Signal Service Company in World War II. He was discharged on December 2, 1945, from Camp McCoy, Wisconsin. Albert O. Peterson was born on June 10, 1919, and died in the state in 2006. That is a look at the local news. Again, a very long newscast here today because of the meetings yesterday. A lot of news from all those meetings, and we want to pass it along. We'll have more on the meetings tomorrow as well. Taking a look at the present conditions right now in downtown Crookston, we have, we'll call it cloudy skies again. We had partly sunny to mostly sunny when we started the news, but we have cloudy skies, 66, a northwest wind of 18 miles an hour, barometric pressure at 29.72 inches and falling, or rising, excuse me. Humidity is at 73%, that is falling. The morning's low was 60 degrees. Right now, again, we're at 66. Yesterday, we had a half an inch of rain here at the KROX studios, and that short burst that came through, that quick thunderstorm. There was an inch of rain reported at Jackson Avenue, 7/10 of an inch of rain in the Woods Edition, and Euclid reported 1 inch of rain and some hail as well. The sun rose at 5:29 this morning. The sun will set at 9:29 for 16 hours of daylight, and if you've noticed, the days are getting shorter now after the summer solstice. The record high, 99, set in 1900. The record low, 39, set in 1926. Year ago high, 79. Year ago low, 57. And we had a trace of rain a year ago today. The average high is 78. The average low, 55. Yesterday, we had a high of 76 with a low of 59. And that half inch of rain here in downtown Crookston. The forecast for Crookston in the listening area for the rest of today, it'll be mostly sunny with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms here in the afternoon. High 75 to 80. It'll be breezy. Northwest winds of 15 to 25 and a 70% chance of rain. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the mid-50s. Southwest winds of 5 to 15. Wednesday, mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds of 5 to 15. Wednesday night, mostly clear. A 20% chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms. Lows 55 to 60. Thursday, partly sunny, a 20% chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms in the morning, highs in the mid-80s. Friday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Saturday, partly sunny, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs 90 to 95. Sunday, mostly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. And Monday, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. So it looks like summer is going to arrive here by the weekend, and be ready for those warm temperatures. That is a look at the lengthy Noontime News on KROX today. The Noontime News was brought to you in part by our friends at Crookston Collision Center, Stennis Granite, HN Quality Plumbing, First Community Credit Union, Hugo's Family Marketplace, and Courtney Polkerbeck State Farm Insurance. Listen again for the Noontime News tomorrow.